Today on Insight for Living from Bible teacher Chuck Swindoll.
To do the Lord's work and the Lord's way means we must operate as Christ operated. We must live a life as Christ lived. We must conduct ourselves as Christ conducted himself. And we're able to do that because of the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God that exists within us to carry out that message.
In the narcissistic age in which we live, those who follow Jesus Christ are bound by a profound calling. Rather than strive for notoriety, rather than chase after fame and fortune, Jesus called us to walk in humility. And during his earthly ministry, Jesus demonstrated exactly what that looks like. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll presents his final message in a brand new series called Clinging to Hope. In this final installment, we'll come to realize that genuine hope is generated by a surprising virtue. Chuck titled today's message, When Adversity Leads to Humility.
Turn with me, please, to John chapter 13, the Gospel of John. Chapter 13, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. And he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will. No, Peter protested, no, you will never wash my feet. Jesus replied, unless I wash your feet, you won't belong to me. Simon Peter exclaimed, then wash my hands and my head as well, and not just my feet. Jesus replied, a person who has bathed all over does not need to be washed except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, not all of you are clean. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. My hope is that the Lord will use this passage and others to show us the necessity of humility in serving Christ and doing his work.
You're listening to Insight for Living and the final study in Chuck Swindoll's brand new series called Clinging to Hope. His message was delivered right in the middle of the pandemic, and it's titled When Adversity Leads to Humility.
We have all been in the grip of a worldwide virus that has taken a toll on our world's population as well as on our own emotions during the period in which it has been going on now for months. It's been a very unusual experience for us because we have been totally out of control. We're unable to stop it on our own. We're unable to change the course of it. And we are unable to predict where it is going and how long it will last or how treacherous it will become. We hear others tell of that. Often they are wrong. Sometimes they are right on target. I'm sure many of them are sincere as they attempt to guide us through this time of COVID-19. We are hoping to learn in the process some things that God would teach us. You may recall my mentioning the words of Malcolm Muggeridge in the message last time we were together. He said, any happening, great or small, is a parable whereby God speaks to us. And the art of life is to get the message. So that would include our time as well. During this period, that's impossible to get our arms around. It is like a parable where God is speaking to his children, you and me alike. It's essential that we slow our pace, quiet our lives long enough to get his message because he does not shout. He will not race to catch up. We must slow our pace so that we might get in step with him and hear what he's saying, which caused me to speak last time on the priority of solitude. We cannot get God's message in the din and noise of the marketplace. It requires time alone, time to think, time to search ourselves and learn some things about ourselves, and in the process, more importantly, some things about our God. Today, I want to address the necessity of humility. It may seem to be strange bedfellows, solitude and humility, but they are not at all. In many ways, they are twins. Certainly during the time of the virus, we have come to realize how helpless we are, how unable we are to throw a switch or take a pill or get a shot or get the counsel of someone very wise, very smart, who will get us beyond it. Can do none of those things. We are, considering all things, we are at the mercy of our times. That, if nothing else, will begin to help us realize the value of humility. All of this ties in with the way we do what we do as believers. When someone asks me what I do, and we've never met before, I tell them I'm involved in the Lord's work. That's usually a general way to answer the question. I don't talk about pastoring a church. I don't talk about my past and the things I've done. I simply say I'm involved in the Lord's work. Most people get that. But there's so much more to what we do. You are also involved in the Lord's work. It was back in 1974, I had the privilege of meeting and hearing Dr. Francis Schaeffer, a name from the past. Some of you will readily remember. Others of you may not know of. Dr. Schaefer sort of took the Christian world by storm. He lived in La Brie, Switzerland, and began to emerge as one of those on whose life God's hand rested, and God spoke through him. Some of his books were deep and difficult to grasp. The God who was there was one of his first. And those who love philosophy loved following the teachings of Dr. Schaefer, but he got right down into the nuts and bolts of life. And by the time he was continuing his ministry of writing, he began to write on such things as No Little People or True Spirituality and such works as that. I found myself taken by the man back in 74. He had come to Dallas Seminary to speak, and I attended the sessions where he was teaching, and it was through him I learned a statement I've never forgotten. It was embedded in my brain. Just 10 words that I hope you will hear today and learn and repeat enough for them to become a part of your thinking from here on out. We must do the Lord's work in the Lord's way. I'm not saying that's an original statement with Schaefer, but that was the first time it rang the bell in my mind, making a lot of sense. Back in 74, the jury was still out in my life, and I was searching quite a bit for direction I should take and where the Lord was leading me in my ministry. And I had many years to go, had no idea what God was going to do, but I loved the way that came across. Not only do I want to do the Lord's work, and I want us to do the Lord's work, we want to do it in the Lord's way. All of us have ability, all of us have strengths, but the fact is that if we operate in the Lord's work apart from Christ, we are operating in the energy of our own flesh, and there's a lot of that energy available. We've all done that, and we've all regretted it. I've lived long enough to know the value of doing it in the power of Christ. He said, that is, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing, meaning nothing worthwhile, nothing that will be rewarded, nothing that will make a lasting impact. So to do the Lord's work and the Lord's way means we must operate as Christ operated. We must live a life as Christ lived. We must conduct ourselves as Christ conducted himself. And we're able to do that because of the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God that exists within us to carry out that message. When we came to Christ, the Spirit of God took up his residence within us and immediately began working within us to carry out the Lord's work, the Lord's way. The more I study Christ, and it's been a lifetime of study, the more one characteristic stands out above all the others. And there were many that were magnificent about the ministry and life of Christ. But the one that stands out and that must have impacted his times more than any other, in my opinion, is his humility. Think of it. He came from the very presence of the Father, from the throne room of God. He descended and came to this earth as a human being, became a human being. And even in the passage in Philippians 2, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Right away, we read the word humbled. He humbled himself. My Bible is open to Philippians 2. I'd like to direct your attention there. We'll work our way to John 13 by first stopping at Philippians 2, then Romans 12, finally John 13. Look at Philippians 2, just a couple of verses. Verse 3, Paul writes, The New Living Translation reads, "Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourselves, don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. When you do the Lord's work in the Lord's way, those are characteristics of your ministry." And we're all engaged in ministry in one way or another. If you know Christ, you're involved in ministry. You're involved in doing the Lord's work. You carry it out, whatever may be your career, your calling, your profession, whatever it may be. It is to be marked by an unselfishness. He writes, "Don't be selfish." It's to be characterized by not attempting to impress others. Don't try to impress others, makes it very clear. And third, it will be characterized by not looking out for your own interests only, but for the interests of others. That's what motivates us into action. That's what causes God's ministers to forget what time it is, what sacrifice may be involved, what the demand may require, because we are God's servants, like Christ. We are to carry out his work his way. Romans 12 goes even deeper, and I'd like you to go there next. We often think of Romans as a great doctrinal book, and it certainly is that. But when you get to chapter 12, it becomes very earthy, very realistic, very practical. I'm looking at Romans 12, beginning at verse 7. So locate that. Again, from the New Living. "If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. If you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good." And he goes back again. "Love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honoring each other." When you do the Lord's work, the Lord's way, these are characteristics of how you carry that out. Continuing, verse 11, "Never be lazy, but work hard. Serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying." He continues, "When God's people are in need, be ready to help. Always be eager to practice hospitality." Even goes further, "Bless those who persecute you." Why? Because that's what Jesus did. That's the Christ way. When you live for Christ, that's how you carry out your life. Don't curse them. That's what you do in the energy of the flesh. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. I love the way that reads. And back to Schaeffer's book, no small people. There are no little people or big people. We're all sheep. We're all just people. And when you're in ministry, you don't pay attention to how wealthy a person is or how little a person has or how old or how young or how clean or unkempt a person is. You look beyond all of those externals and you carry it out his way. Let me read Eugene Peterson's paraphrase from The Message. Listen to how he put it. "Let's just go ahead and be what we're made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other, trying to be something we aren't. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. Be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. See, you manipulate when you operate in the energy of the flesh. You manipulate when you are doing it your way. You get bossy. You take over. It's important that you come out on top. But when you do it Christ's way, when you do it the Lord's work and the Lord's way, you don't do it like that. He goes on, love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. You know, it's easy to come across as a believer as holier than thou, especially when you're in a group that's not holy. It's easy to come across as a know-it-all when you're in a gathering of people who don't know a lot and you know a lot. But when you do it God's way, like Christ did it, you don't find delight in doing that. In fact, you resist that. The Arizona Republic newspaper reported some time ago that a professor at the University of Arizona was speeding toward his class on the campus. He was late as his car flew past an unmarked Arizona Highway Patrol car. The officer pulled out, caught up with him, pulled him over, and approached the man behind the wheel. The professor explained that he was late for class. He was scheduled to teach at the university. And the policeman, in a rare moment, took pity on the professor, and he let him off with a warning. Before the cop walked away from the car, he said to the man, "Slow down and drive safe." Well, the professor felt the need to correct him. So he said, "Officer, excuse me, but you should have said, slow down and drive safely. You said drive safe." The officer told him to stay right there and give him his driver's license again. He went back to his car and wrote him a $72 speeding ticket. You know, we need to know when to shut our mouths. The guy's a jerk. He just had to show that he knew grammar. Don't correct people's grammar. Don't feel you have to correct every misstatement. Don't feel you have to set anyone straight. But when you operate like Christ, and when you do the work of God, Christ's way, you do it with humility.
Chuck Swindoll has been presenting a brand new 12-part series here on Insight for Living. Each message begins with the words, clinging to hope, and finishes with a common struggle. In this final study, Chuck is talking about clinging to hope when adversity leads to humility. And if you'd like to learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Before we move on today, let me remind you to request the brand new book that Chuck wrote as a companion to this series. It's also called Clinging to Hope, and you can purchase a copy right now by going to insight.org/hope, or ask for the book when you call us. If you're listening in the United States, you can speak to one of our friendly ministry reps by calling this number, 800-772-8888. You know, it's not the sale of books and resources that propels the mission of Insight for Living. As a nonprofit ministry, Chuck's teaching is made possible through voluntary donations from people like you. In a real sense, you're the one who's making it possible to reach people, like this attorney in Florida who shared his story. He said, "I had just accepted a lucrative position with a law firm, but I was too busy to go to church, and my marriage was failing. Somehow, every time I got in the car, Chuck was on the radio. I started paying attention to what he was saying, and I realized that I was not a Christian." He added, "I was crying every day when I drove to work. Finally, I committed my soul to Jesus. A peace came over me. Jesus was my Savior." Wow, God's Word is so powerful. And you know, when you give to Insight for Living, you're playing a significant role in getting the good news out to people who are clinging to hope. You can join this effort today by giving a gift when you call us. If you're listening in the United States, call 800-772-8888. Or you can give online at insight.org/donate. You've heard him teach about the Holy Land using word pictures to make us feel like we're actually strolling through the old city.
Learning about Jerusalem is fascinating for sure, but seeing the land of Israel with your own eyes is life-changing. In fact, it's absolutely magnificent.
And now you can see Israel with Chuck Swindoll and the gracious hosts and experts assembled by Insight for Living Ministries. Join us on an unforgettable 12-day tour, March 5th through the 16th, 2023.
At special sites along the way, I will teach from God's Word. We'll worship at the Mount of Beatitudes and share the Lord's table at the Garden Tomb. In fact, we'll sail the Sea of Galilee together, and we'll visit places where Jesus walked and taught.
To learn more, call 1-888-447-0444.
Just imagine walking along those sacred sites and seeing the Bible come to life before your very eyes.
Mark your calendar for March 5th through the 16th, 2023, and make your reservation by calling 1-888-447-0444 or go to insight.org/events. Insight for Living Ministries' tour to Israel is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. I'm Bill Meyer. Join us when Chuck Swindoll continues his final message in the series Clinging to Hope, Tuesday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, When Adversity Leads to Humility, was copyrighted in 2020 and 2022, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2022 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.